Welcome to the church that gathers here locally at a place we call Bethel. My name is Josh, and let me just say, first of all, it's good to be back. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Josh, lead pastor here at Bethel. For those of you who don't know about our family, my father-in-law passed away a week and a half ago. Time loses track. So thank you for praying. People ask us, how did it go? How did you get through these moments? And I tell them two things. One, my faith in Jesus Christ and people like you praying, encouraging, calling, texting. We had texts, we had calls, we had cards in the mail. So every type of communication that you could think of, man, church, thank you for your love and your support. Not only that, but Pastor Tony brought an incredible message last week, one of your lay pastors. So if you've not heard that, go back and watch Pastor Tony lead in the word from the book of Micah last week. And we gather like we do every week, after week, after week, because Jesus took our place. Jesus, the Son of Man, died on the cross for guilty sinners, of whom we are the worst, but he rose again for our hope. And we believe that whoever confesses him as Lord will be saved. That's why we gather. So for you who are here on the ground floor, for you who are in the heavens, in the balcony, for you who are watching online, thank you for gathering and worshiping. Because when we gather, we know the Lord is here also. So let me speak for a moment to our type A personalities. For you who wake up in the morning and you just get things done, I have a verse for you. So go ahead and get your checklist out. I know you're about to make one. If you ever ask me, well, what does God require? Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. I have a verse in Micah that is especially tailored for your personality type. So Micah 6, verse 8. I know the students wanted me to say 6, verse 7. 6, 8, not 6, 7. What does the Lord require of you, oh man? Simple. Act justly. Do justice. Love mercy, or love, CSB says, faithfulness, hesed. And walk humbly with your God. Checking the boxes. What does God want us to do? Micah says, okay, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And some of you are already in your memo section making a note. Okay, I'm going to do justice. I'm going to love mercy. I'm going to walk humbly. And then I will satisfy the achievement requirements of the rubric set forth in Micah for my sanctification. That's not what Micah says. Actually, what the word reminds us of is that the Bible never says that this is the order of salutis, the ordo salutis in Latin. This is not the way of salvation. This is a reminder. Micah is actually speaking to our flesh in a way that our flesh understands. Because for most of us, we want to do and then to love and then walk humbly. And Micah says, well, let's think through this deeply. Let's abide in the love of God. And then we will hopefully not live an upside down life spiritually. So today, let's read Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. And let's ask ourselves better, not what does what God require, but how do we abide in him? How do we dwell in the richness of his grace in a way that is holy, righteous, and just? If you've made your spiritual checklist, just hold that to the very end of our service today. Listen to what the Lord requires. Rise, plead your case, verse 1 of chapter 6. Before the mountains and let the hills hear your complaint. Listen to the Lord's lawsuit, you mountains and enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. He will argue it against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? Or how have I wearied you? Testify against me, God says. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from that place of slavery. I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam ahead of you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab proposed, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from the acacia grove to Gilgal, so that you may acknowledge the Lord's righteous acts. So the people answer, what should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings or year-old calves? Or will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression and the offspring of my body for my very own sin? Mankind, he has told you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Upside down living. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you today that we are people who want to do first, listen second, and walk with you last. And Lord, we're not alone in that. Your people throughout the history of time have been doing and then loving and then walking with you. But Father, today, what would it look like in our lives, Lord, if we walked with you first? If we loved you second, and then we did. Lord, today in our lives, simply help us work not for our salvation. Lord, today, help each of us work from our salvation. That we would not live upside down lives, but that we would live in right standing with a God who is merciful and kind. Lord, we pray this through the blood of Jesus Christ and by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Micah 6 begins with words that actually might sound familiar. Maybe you've heard this before. All rise. The judge has now entered the courtroom. And some of you want to stand up right now thinking, okay, how do I pay my respects? But in Micah 6 verses 1 through 3, we have this courtroom legal setting. It's actually a legal lawsuit in ancient Near Eastern form. And listen to the words that are used. Verse 1. The Lord says, listen to what I am saying. Rise, plead your case. Verse 1, let the hills hear your complaint. Verse 2, listen to the Lord's lawsuit and enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. God is one day going to judge the living and the dead, and he can do that in righteousness because he is your creator. So who better to judge us rightly than the righteous God who made us in his image? And so what we would expect here is to say, okay, we know God's requirements, Micah 6, 8. Now we have this courtroom drama. So God is going to give a verdict against us, his people. But that's not what happens. The Lord posits a question. He says, okay, let's reboot this. Verse 3. What have I not done for you? Tell me, how have I wearied you? Testify to these things. And as we imagine this ancient courtroom, somewhere along the way, someone has said, it's just too burdensome to follow God. There's a lot of rules. Do we have to, as Pastor Jared said, do we have to come to church every week in December? That's a lot of Christmas Sundays. Every week. That's weary to our souls. And if you've ever felt that way, that's not just you. In verse 3, the people have a complaint to God's complaint. So the Lord asks, how have I wearied you? The word wearied means very particular, in the particular language, it means to be worn down, stretched thin, or exhausted to the point of spiritual fatigue. It's Israel looking at God and saying, God, we are worn out and it is your fault. Maybe you felt that way. Say, God, I just don't know if I can keep going on. Your ways are too heavy. Walking with you is a drain on my life. It is not life-giving. Why would we feel that way? This is a product of upside-down living. If you have ever tried to keep the commands of God in your strength, it will lead to weariness. And I know because I used to do that. I was the churchgoer. And by God's grace, I grew up in a loving community of faith, but somewhere along the lines, I just felt like I received faith by osmosis. And so I said, okay, now I know what to do. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. So I'm going to do that in my strength. And when we live that way, we end up in verse 3, where we say to God, God, I am weary and it is your fault. See, grace was never meant to be earned. It was always meant to be received. This is what it looks like when we try to earn mercy, when we try to do justice and walk humbly in our own strength. And surely I'm not alone in that. Have you ever been tired from obedience? Not from serving God faithfully, but trying to be your own savior. Have you ever verbalized to God, God, I'm just tired. And I'm not tired of life, I'm just tired of trying to walk according to what you have. And if that has ever happened in your life, let me speak as a pastoral mechanic before. Some of you drove here to church and you have a light on your dash. And it's a check engine light. First, don't ignore that light. As some of you, I know a person one time that they put electrical tape over that light. And I told them, you know it doesn't go away, right? If you have ever felt weary spiritually, that is God's check engine light for your soul. He is saying, Josh, the reason that you are weary is because you need me. You need grace. You don't earn grace. You receive mercy. So if you are fatigued today, maybe that is God's way of screaming to you, Josh, abide in me and then everything will make sense. But if you are trying to earn grace, if you are trying to do and then love and then abide, it will never work. G.K. Chesterton once said, he in the 80s, he was the director of the BBC even before that, and he said that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting or lacking. He said the Christianity has been found difficult and left untried. And that is our lives. This upside down living for Christ never works in our life. And now, would you simply pause right now and just ask God, say, God, turn my life right again. I'm tired. I'm weary. God, I can't get the check engine light off by myself. Only your spirit can do that for me. And if you think that this is only an Israel issue, if you think this is only a pagan dilemma, how often are we tempted to go back into our own strength as Christians? Say, Lord, I know grace, I know good theology, I have right orthodoxy, but sometimes I try to do it on my own. Church, upside down living will only weary your soul. And then God furthers the indictment. Look at verse 4. He says, indeed, did I not bring you up from the lands of Egypt? And the answer to that question is yes. Did I not redeem you from that place of slavery? Again, yes. Did I send Moses? Yes. Aaron? Yes. Miriam? Yes. Ahead of you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab proposed, what Balaam son of Beor answered him. Remember when he paid Balaam to curse Israel, and Balaam came back and said, thank you for your money, but I can't curse him. I tried. Thank you for the retainer fee. And this happened again and again, and Balaam said, I can't curse them. They're God's people. And the Lord says, don't you remember that day? Verse 5, and what happened from the acacia grove to Gilgal? So that you may acknowledge the Lord's righteous acts. Another principal part of upside down living is that we forget grace in our lives. We forget the Lord's tender mercy. And if that's you, by the way, if you've ever forgotten what God has done in your life and you live with that guilt, you're not alone. Every single page in Scripture is filled with someone at some point who forgot the mercy of the Lord. This is why we gather. We gather to remember God's faithfulness. This is why we take communion, because we do this in remembrance of the Lord. This is why we celebrate baptism, because we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God. We need to be people who remember the Lord. And I love what Scripture does here. Verse 8 says, remember the requirements of God. But verse 4 says, recall my faithfulness before you know the requirements. In our life, God always asks us to remember grace before he gives us the requirements of what it takes. So I simply ask today, do you need to pause and ask the Lord, God, flood my mind with the remembrance of what you did. Remember the acacia groves in your life when you were worn out and you were tired and God said, there's a green pasture, sit there and eat a little bit. Remember when you were weary and you were parched and God said, here's a pool of still water, drink. Remember when Moses gave you the law and you didn't know which way to turn and God gave you his word that you might not sin against him. Remember, because we live in an upside down world that wants us to forget God's grace. People ask me, well, how did last weekend go at the funeral? And I said, well, we spent about an hour remembering God's mercy over and over and over and over again. Why do we do that? Because the world tells us to forget and forget and forget. May we not be forgetful people. In Scripture, remembrance is not a sentimental reflection. Micah is not the spiritual Hallmark channel of prophets. Remembrance in Scripture is taking something from the past and bringing that into the future and to the present to help you live in God's gracious loving kindness. Micah is not saying, well, just remember and say to God, aw, that was nice. Don't you remember Moses? Aw, he was a cute little prophet. His face kind of glowed at times, really weird. Had a temper, broke the Ten Commandments. But, remember Aaron, the high priest. We should not have these fuzzy moments. Remembrance in biblical language is taking what God did yesterday, and say, God, that promise will help me endure today. It's that promise, dragging that promise today and saying, God, if I don't know anything else, I know that you are faithful. And you are true, and you are righteous. Maybe today you need to drag God's promise today in your life. That is the beauty of righteous living. And then in verse 6 and 7, the lawsuit continues. The people begin to ask questions to God's questions. They complain to his complaint, and now they question his questions. Verse 6, they say, well, what should we bring to a God like this? When I come before the Lord and bow on high, should we bring the burnt offering? In Greek, it's holo, olam is Hebrew, but holocaust is the word for a whole burnt offering. These were the normal offerings that every worshiper would bring to stay in right relationship with God. They start in a good place. They're saying, well, should we just bring your normal offerings? But something changes. Someone else from this side of the sanctuary spoke up and said, no, maybe we should bring the year-old calf, which was a priestly offering. Normal people wouldn't offer that, and it was offered once a year when they would ordain a new priest. And someone else from this section said, no, that's the whole burnt offering is not enough for our sin, and the priestly offering is not enough for our sin. We need to sacrifice 1,000 rams. And someone else said, no, I'm going to outdo that. How about 10,000 streams of oil, or as they say in Mississippi, Earl. That's a lot of Earl. Some of y'all are laughing, but you speak like you're not as sophisticated as you think you are. You laugh at the way I speak, but you are me. And there's a recognition when we live upside down that our offering always has to be a little bit more than our sin. If you've ever felt the guilt and weight of your sin, you realize fairly quickly that there's no offering that you can offer to mediate the guilt of your life. And so what we have here in Micah is people trying to one-up each other. They're saying, well, my sin's a little bit worse than yours, so I'm going to one-up that. Upside-down living never ends in a place of spiritual rest. Actually, what we see in verses 6 and 7 is restlessness. Notice that there's this triage of we need more and we need more and we need more and we need more, because the nearer you draw to God, the more we realize we are sinners. And upside down living would say, okay, the more I recognize my sin, the more I realize I need to do to mediate my sin. Because that's what upside down living says. You sin, you make it right. You sin more, you make it right more. And then finally, someone in the congregation said, I got it. Should I even give my firstborn? I'll give my very own child if that will give me spiritual rest. And if you don't understand grace, this is where it leads. Because this is an assault on God in two ways. Firstly, it's an assault on God's character. Someone thinks that there is something they can offer God to satisfy his holy requirements, as if there's anything that we can do. So firstly, they say, well, God, we don't know your character. Secondly, they don't understand his commands, because God has already forbid human sacrifice in his word. And that's what restlessness does. It violates God's character and it violates his commands for your life. And we look at all this and just ask God, what's the answer? What's the answer when we are spiritually exhausted? What's the answer when we look at his word and there's no hope from our sin? Is the answer to do more? Then we have in verse 8, kind of the closing argument from the mouth of Micah in this ancient Near Eastern celestial lawsuit. Micah says, okay, guys, he's probably scratching his head, thinking, okay, if you want to do something to make it right, like put the oil away. Like, God doesn't need your oil. Put the 1,000 rams back in the closet. Keep the whole burnt offering. If you really want to do something amazing, just do justice. Love faithfulness, the word chesed, the loving covenantal love of God. Love what God loves, and then walk humbly with him. This is what the life looks like that's overcome by righteousness. Now, I don't know this to be true, but I think it to be true, so therefore I think it is true. I believe that God intentionally inverted the order to appeal to our flesh. Because the right spiritual order, the order of the ordo salutis, is that we abide in Christ by grace, we love his faithfulness, and then we can do justice. But I believe in this courtroom drama, Micah inverts the order, so we will stand up and say, I agree. And then he says, gotcha. He says, but grace is a different sort. This is what we have from the Lord. What does God require? Act justly, love faithfulness, and walk humbly with your God. This is a question that people have asked throughout time. What is good? The word good here is really a summation of all the scripture. Really, Micah is saying, okay, if you want to do good, just walk blamelessly according to all of his word. Word that is living and active, that is good for your soul. The Torah, not just the five books of Moses, but the word of the living God. And you might say to me, well, that's impossible. And Micah would say, that is the point. In Micah's day, they're not the only ones asking what does God require and what is good. The rich young ruler, in fact, comes to Jesus and he asked a similar question. He says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And God says, well, Jesus says, well, just keep the commandments. Do not steal, do not covet, do not lie. He's like, I did all of that. Nailed it. Jesus says, well, there is one more. I don't know if you heard it, but just sell everything that you have and give to the poor. Now, let me pause there. And there's actually no command in Scripture that says that. But because Jesus knows our heart, he says, well, let me speak to your heart one moment. And Scripture says that the rich young man went away sad because he had a lot of stuff. And I really think he went away sad because he walked away from eternal life that moment. He chose the world. He chose doing over abiding in Christ. That's Matthew 19. There's another young man who asked a similar question to Paul. You might know him as the Philippian jailer. Odd situation. You know, he's a jailer, so he's trying to keep Paul in jail. And one night there's an earthquake and the jail cell opens up and he runs in there about to take his own life because he's not a good jailer because he thinks that the criminals have escaped. And the criminals kind of talk the jailer out of hurting himself. And finally he says, okay, clearly this is of God. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a Micah question. What does God require of me? In Acts 16:31, just says simply, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that very day, this man and his entire house trusted in Jesus Christ. You see, upside down living, inverted religion says act, love, and then follow. And Micah knows that. That's why he said it that way. But faith in the gospel says believe, repent, and then follow Jesus. And from that faith flows the life that Micah describes. If we're honest, we can live upside down lives. We can strive, so if we strive enough, we can love some. And if we love enough, maybe we can abide in Christ. And if that's you, it only leads to restlessness. Would we live a life where our lives are rightly ordered in Christ? You see, the gospel is very simple, but it's very difficult. The gospel, God sent his one and only Son that whoever believes in him might be saved. The Son of the living God took on flesh, died, on the cross for guilty sinners and rose again for us. The gospel really is not us climbing our way to God, but God in the form of his son came down to us. That's God's reminder that, Josh, you don't climb to me. You don't strive to me. Israel, you don't get it. Of course you're weary. Of course you're restless because you don't build towers to heaven. We go to heaven by a cross. This is the restful life. So let me read Micah 6:8 in the correct spiritual order. Mankind, he has told each of you what is good. And in Christ, what does the Lord require of you? To walk, abide humbly with your God. To love his chesed, his mercy. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Good courtroom language. And then to do justice, to live in a way that displays your faith. Are you trying to live upside down today? Are you just simply tired of being sick and tired? If that is you, that is God's check engine light to say, don't ignore the warning signs, come to faith. Because there will be a day where you are in the presence of a holy God and he will judge you and me. The living and the dead. It is appointed once to man to die and then judgment. Are you ready for that day? If you're not, you can be right now. Just to humbly bow your knee before the Lord and say, God, I know I have not kept your word. And God, there's no whole burnt offering. There's no ram. There's no oil. I can't give you even my firstborn son to be saved. But God, for the first time, I recognize that you gave your only son that I might have eternal life. Would you confess that and believe that today? And when you do, and if you do, Jesus will turn your life right side up. To you who have given your life to Christ by faith, maybe you're simply just weary. You're tired. I get it. Micah gets it. Would you simply, during that time of invitation, maybe come to the altar, sit where you are and say, God, I know I should be doing for you, but I'm tired of doing it through my strength. God, I'm tired of working for my salvation. I need to continue to work from my salvation. And when grace runs downhill in your life, it is a beautiful, beautiful chorus that God offers you. If you're weary, leave here refreshed. Don't live upside down lives. It's not worth it. It's not. And in the end, it only leaves you empty and restless. Let's pray. Father,